We talked about old times. We fell into what I recognized as a pattern. Jason would mention a place, the basement, the mall, the creek in the woods, and I would supply a story. The time we broke into the liquor cabinet. The time we saw a rice girl named Kelly Weems shoplift a pack of Trojans from the Pharmasave. The summer Diane insisted on reading us breathless passages from Christina Rossetti, as if she had discovered something profound. The big lawn, Jason offered. The night the stars disappeared, I said. And then we were quiet for a while. Finally, I said, so. Is she coming or not? She's making up her mind, Jace said neutrally. She's juggling some commitments. She's supposed to call tomorrow and let me know. She's still down south? This was the last I'd heard, the news relayed from my mother. Diane was at some southern college, studying something I couldn't quite remember. Urban geography, oceanography, some other unlikely-ography. Yeah, still, Jason said, shifting in his chair. You know, Ty, a lot of things have changed with Diane. I guess that's not surprising. She's semi-engaged. To be married. I took this pretty gracefully. Well, good for her, I said. How could I possibly be jealous? I had no relationship with Diane anymore. Had never had one. In that sense of the word, relationship. And I had almost been engaged myself back at Stony Brook to a second-year student named Candace Boone. We had enjoyed saying I love you to each other until we got tired of it. I think Candace got tired first. And yet, semi-engaged? How did that work? I was tempted to ask. But Jason was clearly uncomfortable with the whole drift of the conversation. It called up a memory. Once, back at the big house, Jason had brought a date home to meet his family. She was a plain but pleasant girl he'd met at the Rice Chess Club, too shy to say much. Carol had remained relatively sober that night, but E.D. had clearly disapproved of the girl. Had been conspicuously rude to her, and when she was gone, he had berated Jace for dragging a specimen like that into the house. With great intellect, E.D. said, comes great responsibility. He didn't want Jason to be shanghaied into a conventional marriage. Didn't want to see him hanging diapers on the line when he could be making a mark on the world. A lot of people in Jason's position would have stopped bringing home their dates. Jason had just stopped dating. The house was empty when I woke up the next morning. There was a note on the kitchen table. Jace had gone out to pick up provisions for a barbecue. Back noon or later. It was 9:30. I had slept luxuriously late, summer vacation languor creeping over me. The house seemed degenerated. Last night's storms had passed, and a pleasant morning breeze came through the calico curtains. Sunlight picked out imperfections in the grain of the butcher block kitchen counters. I ate a slow breakfast by the window and watched clouds like stately schooners sail the horizon. A little after 10, the doorbell rang, and for a second I was panicked by the thought that it might be Diane. Had she decided to show up early? But it turned out to be Mike, the landscape guy, in a bandana and sleeveless t-shirt, warning me that he was going to do the lawn. He didn't want to wake anybody up, but the mower was pretty loud. He could come back this afternoon if it was a problem. No problem at all, I said, and a few minutes later he was riding the contours of the property on an ancient green John Deere that smudged the air with burning oil. Still a little sleepy, I wondered how this yard work would look to what Jason was fond of calling the universe at large. To the universe at large, Earth was a planet in near stasis. Those blades of grass had arisen over centuries, as stately in their motion as the evolution of stars. Mike, a force of nature born a couple of billion years ago, scythed them with a vast and irresistible patience. The severed blades fell as if lightly touched by gravity, many seasons between sun and loam, loam in which Methuselah worms slid while elsewhere in the galaxy, perhaps, empires rose and fell. Jason was right, of course. It was a difficult thing to believe in. Or no, not to believe in. People believe all kinds of implausible things, but to accept as a fundamental truth about the world. I sat on the porch of the house, on the side away from the roaring deer, and the air was cool and the sun felt fine when I turned my face to it, even though I knew it for what it was. Radiation filtered from a star in full-out runaway spin, in a world where centuries were squandered like seconds. Can't be true. Is true. I thought about med school again, the anatomy class I had told Jason about. Candace Boone, my one-time almost fiancé, had shared that class with me. She had been stoic during the dissection, but not afterward. A human body, she said, ought to contain love, hate, courage, cowardice, soul, spirit. Not this slimy assortment of blue and red imponderables. Yes, and we ought not to be dragged unwilling into a harsh and deadly future. But the world is what it is and won't be bargained with. I had said as much to Candace. She told me I was cold. But it was still the closest thing to wisdom I had ever been able to muster. The morning rolled on. Mike finished the lawn and drove off, leaving the air full of humid silence. After a time, I stirred myself and telephoned my mom in Virginia, where the weather, she said, was less inviting than in Massachusetts. Still cloudy after a storm last night that had brought down a few trees and power lines. I told her I'd made it safely to E.D.'s summer rental. She asked me how Jason seemed, though she had probably seen him more recently than I had, during one of his visits to the big house. Older, I said, but still Jace. Is he worried about this China thing? My mom had been a news junkie since the October event, watching CNN not for pleasure or even information, but mainly to reassure herself, the way a Mexican villager might keep an eye on a nearby volcano, hoping not to see smoke. The China thing was only a diplomatic crisis at this stage, she said, though sabers had been gently rattled. Something about a controversial proposed satellite launch. You should ask Jason about it. Has E.D. been worrying you about this stuff? Hardly. I do hear things from Carol every once in a while. I don't know how much of that you should trust. Come on, Ty. She drinks, but she's not stupid. Neither am I, particularly. I didn't mean that. Most of what I hear about Jason and Diane these days I get through Carol. Did she say whether Diane was coming up to the Berkshires? I can't get a straight answer out of Jace. My mother hesitated. Diane's been a little unpredictable the last couple of years. I guess that's what it's all about. What does unpredictable mean exactly? Oh, you know. Not much success at school. A little trouble with the law. With the law? No, I mean, she didn't rob a bank or anything, but she's been picked up a couple times when NK rallies got out of hand. What the hell was she doing at NK rallies? Another pause. You should really ask Jason about that. I intended to. She coughed. I pictured her with her hand over the phone, her head turned delicately away, and I said, "How are you feeling?"
Tired.
Anything new with the doctor? She was being treated for anemia. Bottles of iron tablets.
No. I'm just getting old, Ty. Everybody gets old sooner or later.
She added, I'm thinking of retiring. If you call what I do work. Now that the twins are gone, it's just Carol and E.D., and not much E.D. since this Washington business started up. Have you told them you're thinking of leaving?
Not yet.
It wouldn't be the big house without you. She laughed, not happily.
I think I've had about enough of the big house for one lifetime, thanks. but she never mentioned the move again. It was Carol, I think, who convinced her to stay. Chase came in the front door mid-afternoon. Ty? His over-large jeans hung on his hips like the rigging of a becalmed ship, and his T-shirt was spackled with the ghosts of gravy stains. Give me a hand with a barbecue, can you? I went out back with him. The barbecue was a standard propane grill. Chase had never used one. He opened the tank valve, pushed the lighter button, and flinched when the flames blossomed up. Then he grinned at me. We have steaks. We have 3-bean salad from the deli in town. And hardly any mosquitoes, I said. They sprayed for them this spring. Hungry? I was. Somehow, dozing through the afternoon, I had worked up an appetite. Are we cooking for 2 or 3? I'm still waiting to hear from Diane. Probably won't know until this evening. Just us for dinner, I think. Assuming the Chinese don't nuke us first. This was bait. Jason rose to it. Are you worried about the Chinese, Ty? That's not even a crisis anymore. It's been settled. That's a relief. I had heard about the crisis and the resolution all in the same day. My mom mentioned it. Something on the news. The Chinese military want to nuke the polar artifacts. They have nuclear-tipped missiles sitting on pads in Chukwan ready to launch. The reasoning is, if they can damage the polar devices, they might take down the entire October Shield. Of course, there's no reason to believe it would work. How likely is it that a technology capable of manipulating time and gravitation would be vulnerable to our weapons? So we threatened the Chinese and they backed down? A little of that. But we offered a carrot, too. We offered to take them on board. I don't understand.